Welcome to the Wellness Within podcast. We are a nonprofit wellness center for patients, survivors, caregivers, and families affected by the trauma of cancer. We provide a wide range of services that enhance an individual's ability to experience quality of life. And we believe that everyone should have access to our programs and conversations, which are offered freely to ensure that no one is ever denied the support they need. If you find inspiration in what we share, we invite you to consider supporting Wellness Within through a donation. Your generosity enables us to continue offering these valuable resources to our community. To make a donation and contribute to the well-being of those facing cancer, please visit our website at wellnesswithin.org or click the link in the episode description. Your support makes a difference, so thank you for being a vital part of our mission. Together, we empower whole person well-being, bridging gaps, and reconnecting to what is most meaningful.
I do think detoxification is critical for all people, just based on how the environment is. There's now 40,000 chemicals that are in use in the U.S., and most of us have, you know, chronic low-level exposure over time, so detoxification prevents that from building up.
Welcome to Wellness Within. We would like to thank UC Davis Health, Elizabeth A. Harmon General Dentistry, and Columbia Bank, who in part sponsor this podcast. Join us for relaxing meditations and enlivening conversations about topics that support wellness in the presence of cancer. To access our class schedule, to make a donation, or to sign up for our newsletter, please visit wellnesswithin.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Within's podcast series. I am Patty Brown, founder of Wellness Within, and I am delighted to have this conversation with Dr. Akhil Palaniswamy. He is a Harvard-trained physician who practices integrative medicine, blending his conventional medical expertise with holistic approaches, including functional medicine and Ayurveda. Dr. Akhil attended Harvard University and graduated magna cum laude with a Bachelor of Arts in Biochemical Sciences. He then earned an MD from the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF, one of our favorites here locally, and completed family medicine residency training at Stanford University. He then graduated with a fellowship in integrative medicine with Dr. Andrew Weil at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and received certification in mind-body medicine from the infamous Georgetown University Center, who we love. Dr. Akhil is department chair for integrative medicine at the Sutter Health Institute for Health and Healing, IHH is the acronym. He also serves as an integrative health and healing physician director for community education and leads their educational initiatives and programs. Dr. Akhil has been a consultant with the Medical Board of California for many years. A widely known speaker and educator, he is also the author of The Tiger Protocol, which is his latest book coming out in early May, and The Paleovedic Diet, a complete program to burn fat, increase energy, and reverse disease. As he has done for 2+ decades, Dr. Akhil sees patients and conducts clinical research studies in the San Francisco Bay Area. In his free time, which I don't know how he has free time, he's got a lot on his plate, but in his free time, he enjoys playing tennis, traveling, and spending time with his wife and his daughter. Welcome, Dr. Akhil.
Thank you so much, Patty.
We have not had anybody on our podcast with the kind of experience that you have, so this is very exciting, and I hope our listeners are going to get a pad and paper and take note or download this so they can keep listening and pick up things every time they listen. So let's start. You know, most of our listeners that are tuning in right now are dealing with cancer and its aftermath. So let's start out by educating our listeners and explaining to them why learning about their immune system, what is the connection between their immune system and the connection to cancer? Why is this so vital?
Great question. So the immune system is really important when it comes to cancer, because the job of the immune system is to defend our body against infection and disease. And ideally, it's supposed to detect those cancer cells at an early stage and then take care of them before they progress into a tumor. So the one thing about cancer is it's a partial failure of the immune system to do that surveillance and effectively take care of it. Of course, cancer cells have their own strategies for evading the immune system, but in a normal, healthy person, you know, like you and I, Patty, we have like a few cancer cells here and there. And that's normal because constantly the immune system is doing the surveillance, clearing out these, early cancer cells and thereby preventing cancer. So that's why it's so important to think about optimizing the immune system when it comes to cancer prevention and treatment.
That's great. Optimizing your immune system. That's a key word. I mean, and that's something that I know a lot of our clients that come to our physical center, I know we have a lot of online listeners now too, but that is really key when you're dealing with cancer in the throes of in your treatment and the aftermath.
Yes.
As a follow-up, let's talk a little bit more so people know, because there is so much out there talking about autoimmune disease. So much so, I think that people get really confused and overwhelmed. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is even autoimmune disease?
Sure. So an autoimmune disease is where this immune system mistakenly attacks our own tissues and body. And that attack is what causes autoimmune disease. And autoimmune disease and cancer have a couple of things in common. One is they're both involve failures of the immune system, like we just talked about. And secondly, they involve chronic inflammation. So that's the underlying mechanism. And my whole approach is teach people how to reduce inflammation, and that will reduce the risk of both autoimmune disease and cancer. And we do know that certain autoimmune diseases carry increased risk of cancer. So, for example, people with rheumatoid arthritis have an increased risk of lung cancer. People with an autoimmune condition called Sjogren's syndrome have an increased risk of lymphoma. People with inflammatory bowel disease have an increased risk of colon cancer. And so forth, you know, these kind of associations. And sometimes the treatments that are used in autoimmune disease, which can be life-saving and really necessary, carry slightly increased risk of certain cancers as well. So there's many relationships between autoimmune disease and cancer.
I'm really glad that you said that too, because I can imagine if I'm dealing with cancer and now I have to worry about autoimmune disease.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot, right? But
yes.
Essentially what you're saying is, okay, but it's getting ahead of it. Even though if you've had a cancer diagnosis, there's things you can do to really, I'm not going to use the right words here, but to make your immune system more robust so that it doesn't invite more cancer or other kinds of things to occur.
Exactly.
So I know that one of the things that we're going to talk about today is, you know, the ways to do this. So many of our clients over the years will come to the center walking in, they want to learn about nutrition. And they want to learn about the best ways to eat to create an environment that cancer cannot come back and continue to cause harm. Mm-hmm. But they're overwhelmed with all the information out there. One of the things that we hear a lot, sugar is bad, right? Mm-hmm. Dairy is bad. Eat less meat. You must be vegetarian or vegan. Mm-hmm. So in your book that's coming out that I'm really excited to read, you focus on specific foods to heal and help strengthen your immune system. Can you briefly address the difference between eliminating foods altogether and versus step-by-step approach with the emphasis on healing the gut with particular foods?
Yes, that's a good question. This is why in my protocol, I divided into two phases, what I call the phase one diet and the phase two diet. So the phase one diet has more of that elimination that you were talking about in terms of removing foods that could be sensitivities or inflammatory foods, and then, you know, focusing on healing and detoxification during that time. But then in the long term, I think it's very important to expand the diet and not be on a strict elimination diet. And that's the phase two diet, where you start to reintroduce foods, you are really trying to broaden the diversity of the diet. And the reason that matters is with the microbiome, which is the trillions of gut bacteria that regulate your immune system and inflammation, and also are the key to longevity, we know that diversity of the microbiome is one of the key metrics for long-term health. And the best way to boost the diversity of the microbiome is a very diverse diet with lots of different plant foods, lots of different fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes and beans, nuts and seeds, and so forth. And so my goal with the long run is really teach people how to expand their diet for more diversity.
Wow. More diversity, which I think that's the key, is because people feel that they're so restrictive. You know, when you get a cancer diagnosis, you feel like you can't eat anything because everything, food is the enemy.
Yes.
And they're reading labels on everything because, you know, well, that has this in it, or this has that in it. And it's just, it's so prohibitive. It's so unsettling for people. But to have the belief that, look, it's bigger picture.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, it's maybe in the beginning, it may feel like, okay, you're doing some elimination of some things, but the key is to not live that way for the long term.
Right.
And I think that's what people are most afraid of. I'm going to have to always eat this. I can never eat XYZ that I love.
Right.
I think that's pretty incredible. I think one of the other things too, and I will tell our listeners after we're done with this, is Dr. Akil has a Instagram account that he does lots of reels, just tips for healing your gut. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I saw on another interview that you did that talked about how autoimmune disease is skyrocketing.
Yes.
And I wrote that down, and it was like an epidemic of autoimmune disease. 30 to 40 million Americans are diagnosed with autoimmune disease.
Yes.
And then 300 million people worldwide. And I'm saying that because we have listeners over 5 continents that listen. So, wow, this is a very big deal. And I mean, it's the getting educated and understanding and not being afraid, I think, is important, that it doesn't have to be hard.
Exactly. And, you know, you're right. It is the fastest growing category of disease. So, and the same things that treat autoimmune disease also prevent it. So all of these like 5 root causes, they help prevent autoimmune disease. They help reduce inflammation. And I believe reduce the risk of other chronic diseases as well, like heart disease, cancer, you know, diabetes. So I think these same root causes are important, which is why I really focus on them.
Okay. So I know our listeners are going to want to know, then let's start talking about this, break this down a little bit. I know we can't summarize your whole book. I saw how many pages it was, and I won't tell our listeners, but there is audio where you can listen to it too and take it in sound bites, but you have it broken down in sections, right, in your book. Can we give a brief walkthrough with a few highlights regarding the protocols that you discuss, things that you can do to optimize your immune system? And let's let the listeners know. Let's start maybe with the 5 elements of the protocols that you break down.
Yeah, absolutely. So the protocol is the TIGER protocol, and those are the 5 root causes, which I can explain now. And then my whole focus in the book is using food as medicine. So using healing foods for each of those areas. So I can give an example of like a therapeutic food for each of these 5 root causes. So the first one is toxins. And my approach there is teach people how to reduce exposure to toxins and also increase their detox capacity. So boosting the intrinsic detox ability of the body. And one food that is very powerful for this is the beet greens, which are the leafy tops of the beetroot. So sometimes beets are sold just with the root, but if you can find them with the leaves attached, those are unique because they help your body with something called methylation, which is really important for detox. And they have other unique compounds called betalains that are great for your liver, which is the main detox organ. And it's no problem if you cook them or saute them like any leafy greens, but beet greens are very powerful in their support of detoxification. So that's the first, the T. And then the I is infections. So this can include bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites. And my whole approach is make the body inhospitable to infections, and then the immune system can take care of it. So it's not like we're just focusing on killing the bad bug. And one way I love to do this is with spices, because spices are really medicinal. And turmeric, for example, is known for its anti-inflammatory effect. But in Ayurveda, we use turmeric a lot for its antimicrobial effect. So it's very good antiviral, antibacterial. This is how foods were preserved, you know, before we had refrigeration. So adding turmeric for that reason, also great cancer preventative, anti-inflammatory. I believe it's like the cumulative intake over your lifetime is what matters. So just get turmeric into your diet as much as possible. So that's the I for infections. And then next we have G, which is gut health. So for the gut, there's a lot of options in terms of healing, you know, healing foods. I am a fan of bone broth. It has the gelatin and collagen and amino acids, lysine. All of these things help with healing your gut. So I think that's a very good food. And of course, you know, just I try to get organic and grass-fed, a good quality bone broth that you can make it at home. I think that's a powerful food for healing the gut. And then we have the E, which is eating right. And my emphasis here is on what are called prebiotic foods. So these are different from fermented foods, which are probiotic foods. They have the live bacteria in them. But the prebiotic foods, I think, are underappreciated, and they're really powerful for feeding the microbiome. A prebiotic is something that feeds your good bacteria. So what I wanted to do in the book was give people, you know, choices on foods to add in, because so much of what we're told is elimination, but adding in these health promoting foods is easier and, you know, I think very effective. So in the book, I list like 200 different options for prebiotic rich foods, you know, just like that. You don't have to do all of them, but giving people choices, pick and choose what you can tolerate. That's a great way to boost your microbiome and really eat for longevity.
200's a lot. So can you give us an example, though, like just a couple of examples?
Oh, sure. I break it down by the different prebiotic foods. So for example, there are certain foods that have polyphenols, and then there are others that have inulin. And with each category, I go through the options. So for example, with polyphenols, and I try to list the ones that are more surprising. So with polyphenols, the nut that's the highest is actually chestnut. You know, we only eat that in the holidays, but it's very beneficial to have it more regularly. That's one example. And then when it comes to vegetables, olives and capers are actually very high in polyphenols. So even more than some of the leafy greens, which we know are super healthy. So those are some examples of foods that are surprising, that if you can add those in, they're really going to help your gut and your longevity.
That's a great example. Okay, sorry, I had to jump on that because 200 is a lot, and I know people are like,
Right. Yeah, and they're just lists that people can, you know, go through and select what works. So
And I love that you said, this is what really key, and I hope our listeners hear this, adding. And you think of a list of 200, that's adding. You can add so much more. I think that's hopeful.
Yes.
Instead of eliminating and starving yourself. That's great. So I'm sorry. I know you have one more here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The final one is R, which is rest and rebalance. And there's many different ways to approach this. I think every person's different. I'm a big fan of meditation. You know, that's what I do. There's great research now that meditation lowers inflammation and also literally helps your brain to grow and get bigger. So it changes the structure of your hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that controls stress. And so that's what makes you more resilient as you do meditation. You actually grow new cells in your gray matter and the white matter, the two parts of the brain. So research on meditation is really powerful. But I know it's not for everyone. And studies show that other approaches for stress reduction are effective, like whether it be counseling, psychotherapy, prayer for some people, gratitude practices, forgiveness practices, getting out in nature. You know, there's the main thing is find what works for you and do it regularly. And that is the important thing.
Yeah, I think that's really key too, regularly. And in meditation, because that's definitely a big component for us at our wellness center. I love that you say there's so much research to support this practice. And I think people feel, at least in my experience over the years, that meditation has to be like a half an hour or an hour. And I always try to tell people no, because it's hard to do a consistent practice that way. So can you speak to that a little bit, you know, just briefly as far as how long is, you know, because people say, how long do I have to meditate?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I don't think it needs to be very long. Even 5 minutes or 10 minutes a day is very beneficial. And then also, to your point, there's many different types of meditation. So like in my book, I give examples of 5 different meditation practices. So even within meditation, you can try out different types and see if one of them appeals to you.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to go back because I wrote myself some notes because this is fascinating to me. I'm going to go back to addressing toxins before we move on here. Root greens. You really had me there for beets. You know, it's like the greens of the beets. I cut them off and I tossed them.
Right.
Never in a million years would have thought, wait a minute, cut them, you know, rinse them off because they tend to be gritty and saute them. I mean, is there any other thing that you can do? I mean, if people don't have access, you know, whatever, to getting beets, is there supplements or anything? Because I know that's where a lot of people also go. Can I just take a supplement for that? I mean, I'm more of whole foods is better, but what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the beets, they can be used raw as well, like a smoothie. Some people just put them in a smoothie and then they can be cooked just like you're cooking any like kale, for example. And then, if you don't have access to beet greens, another thing that I'm a really big fan of is the broccoli sprouts, because those you can sprout them at home from broccoli seeds, and they have a compound called sulforaphane, which is a very powerful anti-inflammatory and also anti-cancer product. So I think broccoli sprouts are a true superfood.
That's awesome. And then the next thing, this is one of my favorites too, is turmeric. I just swear by turmeric. And turmeric comes in turmeric powder, right? Or turmeric supplements. Is there any other helpful hint? I mean, I know they can get it from your book, but anything else around turmeric besides the powder or the supplements?
Yeah, I think for daily use, I recommend the powder, the spice. You know, you can use it in cooking any type of vegetable or meat. You can make golden milk, which is a common recipe out there with either, you know, non-dairy milk or regular. And then there are turmeric supplements known as curcumin, which can be very powerful, you know, anti-inflammatory. And then in a supplement form, they get into your blood a bit more better. So if you have like inflammation, you know, joint pain or other reasons that you want more of a systemic benefit, that's where the turmeric supplements can help.
That's great. Thank you. I hope our listeners are taking notes because I sure am. I think this is so fascinating and it's really not that hard. If it's a huge leap to how if you're eating, you know, fast food and, you know, all the time, then it would probably take a different mind shift. But I think when it comes to your health and ways to improve it, it really doesn't have to be that hard. But I think what I love about your book coming out is that you're giving people a walkthrough and giving so many choices for people to say, well, you know, I can use this or I can do that. And I think that's just so helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we move on to why do you think this has all gotten so out of control? Basically, it's, you know, that many people, you know, 300 million people worldwide have autoimmune disease. Well, what happened? Why has this gotten so out of control?
Yeah, I think it's really because there's a perfect storm of factors now that disrupt the immune system. We've got a really big environmental rise in toxins and pollutants, more than we've been exposed to before. We've got rise in like drug-resistant bacteria and infections. And most importantly, our microbiome is really affected because it's not as diverse as that of our ancestors. It's not as resilient. And that's partly because of the diet. You know, we've lost a lot of the food quality from what our grandparents ate, for example. The microbiome, which is the main regulator of the immune system, is really off for many people. And all those factors together, it's like the perfect storm for autoimmunity and inflammation.
Yeah, thank you for answering that, which kind of leads me to the next question is, what I love about your approach and your experience is that I believe personally that integrative approach to healing disease is the optimal approach. Are you optimistic that treating disease in the future medicine that we're going to lean on or expand more of doing the integrative approach? And why do you think that? And what are some of the barriers to the adoption of integrative medicine?
I do think integrative medicine is the future. Medicine is a profession that is very slow to change. So that is part of the issue. You know, we in medicine are very slow to adopt changes. But the good news is there are glimmers of hope. There is increase in medical schools covering nutrition and a little bit of information about the environment, you know, starting. And then there are now like fellowship programs like the one I did in integrative medicine where doctors can learn more. And there's a lot of conferences as well. So there's hope. It's a slow process, but I think we're moving in that direction. And there's a really big patient demand for it, which is what we have to, you know, keep in mind.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm going to slip in a personal question here. Yep. because you chose integrative medicine. Yep. And the approaches that you speak to, what led you to wanting to do that, this work, integrative medicine and autoimmune disease in particular?
So it really came from my own experience with illness, which was in medical school about like 20 years ago. I was just beginning my career, you know, very excited, but I developed this mystery illness that conventional medicine couldn't diagnose. And I had very bad fatigue and severe chronic pain, weight loss, and other symptoms. So I couldn't sit in a chair. I couldn't use a computer. And I had to actually stop my training at that point because, I was not able to function in school. And so I took a year off and I had to explore other options because the conventional drugs and physical therapy were not really fixing me. And that's when I started to explore Ayurveda for the first time and then holistic therapies. And that was the key to turning my health around and really feeling better. And then I realized, you know, I want to train in this and then share this with more people because it helped me so much.
Oh, that's great. So from your own personal experience, you experienced the integrative approach and the yes. healing that you got from that approach. That's awesome. So for our listeners, I mean, that's how a lot of us end up doing the great work that we do, is having our own personal experience. That's fantastic. How important do you think detox programs are for those who faced cancer and or autoimmune diseases? And do you recommend juice cleanses or other protocols that people often hear about online?
Yeah, so absolutely. I do think detoxification is critical for all people, just based on how the environment is. There's now 40,000 chemicals that are in use in the US, and most of us have, you know, chronic low-level exposure over time. So detoxification prevents that from building up. And I am actually not a fan of like juice cleanses or many of the online programs you read about. You know, I think they can be sometimes a little bit extreme. But so there are four things I want to highlight in terms of detox, which I think we sometimes forget because they're very basic. Number one is hydration. You know, you have to be drinking plenty of water. I usually recommend at least half your body weight in ounces per day. So hydration is key, you know, so your kidneys can filter out toxins. So people often forget about that. Second is digestion and elimination, because the main way your body detoxes is through your liver, which puts toxins, it packages them and releases them into your gut. And they're supposed to be eliminated in the stool through bowel movements. So if you're having constipation or not eliminating regularly, that's really limiting your ability to detox. So another reason to work on improving gut health, making sure that is optimal. And then third is the lymphatic system. So the lymphatic system is key, part of the immune system. It's very important for cancer surveillance and also important for detox. So there are things you can do, like dry skin brushing is a very good strategy. It's an Ayurvedic technique to brush your skin that moves the lymphatic tissue. Yoga is very powerful as well for lymphatic movement. So that is important to not overlook. And then finally, I want to talk about sweating, because in Ayurveda, that's a big emphasis for detox, because you can sweat through exercise or sauna or hot bath. And your body actually releases a lot of different toxins through through sweating. And so I think those are kind of like the four regular daily practices that are important for detox. And then, you know, in my book, I have more in-depth like protocols, like with supplements and other things. But I think we should not overlook those basics for detox.
And they're not, I mean, when I wrote down what you said is hydration. And
yes.
it's like water, 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 drink water, water,
right.
water. And, you know, it's like, you can do that, right? We can do that. Digestion and elimination. I mean, sometimes, and I'm imagining in your book outlines ways to help with digestion.
Oh, yes.
And that's important. The lymphatic system, I would think that all our listeners that are dealing with cancer have really got their attention, because we know that's a very big deal. And the dry brushing, it's a
dry skin brushing.
Yeah, skin brushing is not that hard. And yoga, sweating, I mean, all those kinds of things. It's like, it's just fabulous. I mean, I really, you're making an invitation to people. You're giving an invitation is rather what I want to say mm-hmm. these things are going to help you and enhance your immune system. And it may not be that you can do all those things, but start somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay. One of the things I thought was interesting and that we're going to end here is, and most of you heard when you're listening, I know that Dr. Akhil had a lengthy bio. He's got tremendous experience. And one of the things that also caught my eye was your training at Georgetown. And I, having gotten my certification through Mind Body Medicine with Dr. James Gordon, that was the impetus for me to open my center, was knowing that I needed that training to be able, because all the research that supports, all the things that, you know, Dr. Gordon believes. I find that just absolutely fascinating. What is it? There's so many programs out there. What is it about the program that you did and that I did as well? What is it about that program? Why did you pick that one in particular?
Early on in my career, I began to see that stress had such a huge impact on illness and also could manifest in many unexpected ways in any kind of symptom or organ, system. So I just saw the power of the mind and stress on having such a huge effect. And I realized I wanted to do some more training to help people with that mind-body connection, you know, learn tools and techniques. And why I chose that program specifically was I saw Jim Gordon speak at a conference, and I was so inspired moved by how he spoke. And I realized that I really wanted to spend more time with him and train with him. And that's why what I did through that program. And I think he's still, you know, great influence on me. That's why I chose that program and really loved the training there.
That's awesome. Well, I was obviously it hit home for me because I am a firm believer in the program. That's one of our flagship programs at our center that we offer our folks dealing with cancer. Right. I feel like I'm trying to sell you to our listeners, but I'm not. I'm just so excited to have this time with you and to tell people about your book that's coming out. Now, when is your book coming out?
May 9th.
May 9th. Okay, folks. So you can order it. You can pre-order it now on Amazon, correct?
Right.
People, I want you to jot this down. It's called The Tiger Protocol. I also want to remind you, like I said in the beginning, is now it's your reels that you put on Instagram. Is it just called Dr. Akhil, or is there such a workshop people find you?
On social media, it's at Dr. Akhil, so DocTorAkil, and on Instagram and Facebook and other, you know, like TikTok. And then you can also go to my website, Dr. Akhil, DocTorAkil.com. We've put together a bunch of like bonuses and exclusive offers for people who pre-order the book. So you can sign up for those at the website.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today and giving our listeners much needed education. And I know we just touched the tip of all this, and there's so much more. I'm hoping that people go to your website, order your book. And I'll tell you, folks, I have been watching his Instagram reels and I am fascinated. They're brief, they're to the point, they give you these great tips. So folks, go check this out. It is really very, very helpful for all of us who want to not just heal our gut, but just heal our mind, body, and spirit as well. Thank you again for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And until the next time, take good care of yourselves.
My pleasure. Thanks.